Welcome to the Lord's house this afternoon as we are privileged to offer remembrances of our beloved brother in Christ, Bill Ballard, to honor the legacy of a life well lived over the course of his 86 years, and to rejoice in the truth of his salvation in Christ our Lord. We find assurance in the precious gift of life eternal through the grace of our loving God. For as the Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it is by God's grace that we have been saved through faith. It is not the result of our own efforts, but God's gift, so that no one can boast about it. God has made us what we are, and in our union with Christ Jesus, he has created for us a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for us to do. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Merciful God, we give thanks for your living presence among us as we claim the victory of life eternal for our beloved brother in Christ, William Robert Ballard. We seek your great comfort and assurance to be with Tommy and Deanne, Cindy and Mike, Jill and Jamie, Billy and Dee Dee, and Drew and Stephanie and Lauren, and to be also with Joan and Janet and with Bill's grandchildren, his great-grandson, and also with Bill's many other loved ones and friends who have gathered this day to honor his memory. And as we reminisce about all that Bill has meant to each of us, may these memories compel us to offer the best of ourselves to others, for in being a good listener, a good friend, and a welcoming companion, we honor the best qualities that we experienced in Bill's presence among us. For surely, he was the best of being a good neighbor, friend, and fellow traveler in our community, in restaurants, in worship, and in work. For through Bill, we have learned that compassion is truly the fuel that warms our hearts and gives us hope in humanity for generations to come. This be our prayer. In Christ's name, amen. May we pause as we listen to Amazing Grace, please.
Taught my heart to fear, and grace
The Ballard family heritage reaches back into the earliest generations of the frontiersmen and homesteaders of northwestern Missouri. Back in the 1830s, when what is now the North Platte Purchase Drive, just west of this church, was the eastern border of the Louisiana Purchase. It was considered to be the western edge of civilization at that time and the beginning of the western frontier. Bill's grandfather, John Garrett Ballard, was a circuit-riding Baptist pastor from Danville, Kentucky, who crisscrossed this territory by buckboard and finally settled down here in the 1880s. John's brother was also the one who, in the 1840s, ran the Berry General Store on what is now the southeast corner of Berry Road and North Platte Purchase Drive. This was the halfway point of the military road that ran between Fort Leavenworth and Liberty. A spring offered water for the horses and wagon teams, while the store offered final supplies for families heading westward. And as many have known through the years, that same Berry General Store eventually became the oldest general store west of the Mississippi, its continuous operation from 1840 until the 1980s. But in this rural part of Missouri, challenging times were still at hand just east of Berry in nearby Gashland, Missouri, when William Robert Ballard, affectionately named by family members as Billy Bob, was born on the 20th of February in 1935. He was the second son born to Robert and Irene Ballard, with the older sons being Joe, John, and David Ballard. And if it wasn't difficult enough to be born during the Depression years, Billy Bob was born in the attic because it was the warmest part of the family's small home as a snowstorm raged outside and it became impossible for Robert to take his wife Irene to the closest hospital. The Ballard family made do with a number of rather adventuresome housing arrangements, including an abandoned boxcar and then a forgotten slave shack that had a fireplace in the middle with no electricity and running water. But as the years progressed, they moved up to the farmhouse on the hill. It's the spot that is now the parking lot of the Oak Park High School, just north of Oak Grove Park. That gruff exterior that some folks saw in Bill and his brothers likely started early in life. For as the boys arrived for school, they got teased by the other boys, as the Ballard boys had to climb out of the rumble seat of the family's old car rather than simply step out of the back door of a newer sedan. It's little wonder then that the Ballard boys became known as the notorious Gashland Gandies for their rambunctious and mischievous antics all around the Northland. Yet at the same time, Bill's desire to make something of himself likely got a good head start in those early years, as he quickly learned that a fierce, good work ethic could help him get along much better than many of his family's previous generations, for he realized that he was fortunate to grow up in a more prosperous post-war era of the late 40s and early 50s. It was in his mid-grade school years, when Bill was about 10, that he discovered his lifelong interest in heavy machinery. His father, Robert, ran a piece of equipment as part of a 22-man operation. They graded roads for Clay County. Back in the mid-40s, long before the days of some government operation called OSHA, Bill went along with his father during the summer days, sitting on the back of the grader. And when the crew had to dig out a big tree stump in a ditch alongside of the road, they'd have Bill dig the hole, and in return, he got the privilege of lighting the dynamite that blasted the stump loose from the ground. Work like that surely must have been a thrilling experience for a young boy named Billy Bob at the age of 10. Growing up in Gashland, earth-moving equipment was also all around, as the vicinity was developing with housing and industry, as Damon Purcell had a shop with all kinds of heavy equipment right in the neighborhood. Damon and the other men took a liking to Bill's interests during Bill's teenage years, and they taught him mechanical and welding skills and how to drive trucks and how to be an operator on heavy earth moving machines. The longevity of Damon's influence is testified by the fact that his original shop is still a part of the operation of Ballard Excavating even to this day. Bill graduated in 1953 from North Kansas City High School, and it was the closest high school here in the Northland. He did mechanic and operator work for a few years until he was drafted into the Army in 58. And serving in Fort Leonard Wood in southern Missouri, his superiors quickly understood that Bill was gifted in mechanic and operator skills, and so they put him in charge of the motor pool on the post. In the Army, Bill was required to keep meticulous records of where his equipment was routed each day, when it was returned, and when each piece of equipment needed maintenance and underwent repairs. That meticulous record keeping, carefully handwritten with a legible hand, was a skill that Bill perfected and carried forth for the duration of his life. Evidence of this is the massive cabinet at Bill's home that still holds the index cards of every job Bill ever worked on as a civilian, and is carried further by the fact that Bill kept copious notes in everything, including records on calendars as to where, when, and what he ate each day. And when Bill even received a gift or acquired something, he also wrote on the item where it came from, by whom, and for what occasion. We also know that high on Bill's priorities on any given day was finding the best places to eat for breakfast, then lunch, and then finally supper. It was a habit created early in life, and it actually had a spiritual element to it as well. You see, godliness and food went hand in hand early in life for Bill Ballard. For it was one Sunday afternoon in his childhood years that Bill and his brothers heard the music coming out of a small church located on the same property where the Minsky's is located, just west of the southwest corner of North Ork Trafficway and Berry Road. Those church folks invited these young boys to join them while they finished singing in the sanctuary, and afterward, the real treat was the potluck dinner that followed. Reflecting on the experience decades later, Bill said that he just couldn't believe the incredible variety of food so easily available at those potluck suppers. And for Bill, church potluck was a love affair that lasted the duration of his life. Here at Berry Christian Church, it was common sight to see Bill loading up on whatever was left over from a monthly potluck lunch. And those leftovers provided him with a great variety of meals that could last him the duration of the week. Yet, at those church meetings, Bill also began to learn about the Lord Jesus, and somewhere along the way, even while he was returning from the Army and settling back into work initially as a cross-country truck driver and then later for Damon Purcell's company, Bill also got to know Joan Lowry and her parents. Joan's father, Earl Lowry, was nicknamed the Abraham of Gashland Baptist, as the Lowrys were among six families that moved from Bethel Church to become the founding charter members of Gashland Baptist. And as the church's sanctuary was completed in 59, Bill Ballard and Joan Lowry were the first couple to be married there. As the years went by, Bill not only became Damon Purcell's right-hand man, but Bill also worked any number of odd jobs to provide for his growing family, including mechanic work on neighbors and friends' cars and work on the Gashland Baptist Church buses and any number of odd jobs that could bring in a little money for the family, especially during the off-season winter months. Bill learned a great deal about the excavation trade as he was literally on the ground floor of Eisenhower's interstate system as it was being built across this midsection of our nation. Through the 60s and 70s, he worked 12-hour days working behind the larger grading machinery and often working additional hours to do the necessary finish work that became the base of Interstate 70 and 35 throughout this Kansas City region. With the passing years, the children born to Bill and Joan, began with Tommy, then Cindy, Jill, Lisa, Jamie, and then Billy. And after Bill married Janet Ballard in the late 80s here at Berry Christian Church, their son Drew was also born into the family, and Bill also welcomed his two stepdaughters, Stephanie and Lauren, into their home. Bill spent time with his family when he was off from work, but that spare time was often spent when his family was in church or eating a meal somewhere. And on Sundays, those events were usually combined, because after Sunday morning services were over, Bill had the habit of loading up his family and heading out of town on a venture to find some new place to eat Sunday lunch. Sometimes these journeys would be far enough outside of Kansas City that the venture would take the entire afternoon, but Bill was always sure to get back in time for everyone to join in the Sunday evening services at Gashland Baptist. After working for Damon Purcell for several years, some of the men at Gashland Baptist encouraged Bill to begin purchasing some of his own used equipment and begin Ballard excavating in the year 1972. Bill's new business required innumerable and tireless hours and a lot of time away from his family, but he took great pride in his work and was known for doing the best work in the trade. In fact, he often set the quality standard by which even his competition was compelled to follow, identified by fair and honest work. Bill believed in treating people like you'd treat yourself. He believed that you had to have respect for yourself and for all mankind all along the way. Bill knew that everything had value. He was meticulous in the repair of his equipment rather than tossing it aside to buy new. And Bill was so careful with his own repairs and maintenance that one lifelong worker at the Caterpillar shop here in Kansas City remarked that they never saw Caterpillar motors that lasted as long as Bill's. Bill believed that a penny was still worth a penny, and that one was owed an honest dollar for an honest day's work. Nothing more, but also nothing less. Ballard Excavating also provided many working opportunities for several family members, including one of Bill's brothers, three of his sons, and also his daughter, Lisa. Several people became steadfastly loyal to Bill, with employees working for him for decades, and one friend even working for Bill for 35 years. As the years passed into decades and Ballard Excavating worked on ground preparation for schools, parking lots, commercial construction, and even dug out thousands of basements across the Northland, it can be said that there is likely not a city block throughout the area where Ballard Excavating hasn't done some work. After 40 years with his own business, it was in 2012 that Bill retired and handed over Ballard Excavating to his son, Billy, who has already been working alongside his father for decades, and honors his father's legacy by maintaining the same values that made the company a trustworthy and reliable resource for families, businesses, and municipal enterprises throughout the Northland. With a sense of personal pride for honest work well done, and as he has for so long been in the habit of writing things down, Bill wrote on the inside lid of his pickup toolbox as he retired, "Ballard Excavating, W.R. Ballard, 1972 to 2012. And in fact, under Billy's leadership, Ballard Excavating will reach the half-century anniversary in this first part of this new year of 2022. Healthy through the duration of his life and not even in need of a general practice physician, many would find it unimaginable that one could maintain such a heavy workload into even one's 77th year. But even through these past 9 years in retirement, we all know that Bill wasn't about to slow down much. Bill and his son Billy have been avid participants in the Caterpillar Antique Tractor Club, being a part of the national organization's first chapter founded here in Kansas City. In retirement, Bill continued to eat his breakfast, lunch, and supper at local restaurants, never a national chain. Servers and owners of the Corner Cafe, Casconi's, and many other regional mom-and-pop restaurants were all known by their first names. And among the tractor club shows, mechanic swaps, meets, and craft shows that Bill liked to attend, there was one particular craft show in Arkansas that was near a restaurant where Bill was sure to stop. They featured what was called the Belly Buster Omelet, and Bill enjoyed this immensely. But he did have to admit that on more than one occasion, that belly ache that followed was reason enough to regret the stop on that particular occasion. Faithful to God and family and honest to the core in his business affairs and always quick to listen to a story of a new friend so he could take his sweet time telling it to another friend throughout the day. We all know that Bill Ballard lived his life to the fullest with honesty, gusto, a smile, and a tip of his somewhat soiled cowboy hat. It was only after this most recent and sudden illness that a good father, grandfather, friend, hard-working laborer, an honest believer in Christ was ushered into the realm of God's eternal kingdom on Sunday, the 26th of December, this past year of our Lord, 2001. Bill was preceded in death by his parents, Robert and Irene Ballard, his daughter, Elizabeth or Lisa Ballard, and by his three brothers, David, Joe, and John Ballard. Bill is survived by his daughters, Jill Lawler and Cindy, and her husband, Mike Gordon, his sons, Tommy and his wife, Deanne Ballard, Jamie Ballard, Billy and his wife, Dee Dee Ballard, and Andrew, Drew Ballard. Bill is also survived by 10 granddaughters and one grandson, one great-grandson, his two stepdaughters, Stephanie and Lauren, and by his former wives, Joan and Janet. May we take a moment as Mike Gordon also comes forward to share a few words about Bill for us.
I think you're going to hear a lot of the same themes because we obviously had the same sources, family. Abraham Lincoln once said, "In the end, it's not the years in your life that count. It's the life in your years." Bill Ballard had a lot of life in the 86 years he inhabited this planet. So while I could speak on behalf of Bill for hours, I still would only be able to scratch the surface of a full and complete life. Thus, I'll only hit a few highlights and thoughts today. On Bill's last day, Jill stated that she reminded him that Lisa would be waiting and that she had looked up and told Lisa, "Tag, you're it. Take care of Dad now." The day after his passing, two peace lilies from Lisa's funeral, one in Jill's home and one in Billy's home, both bloomed. Just maybe, that was Lisa's way of signaling she had met her father at the gate. I first met Bill in 1986 when I started dating his daughter, Cindy, who became my wife. She took me to a Christmas party that Bill was sponsoring for his company. After introductions and being seated, Bill kept referring to me as Charlie. Cindy told him, "His name is Mike." "Oh, I thought his name was Charlie. He looks like a Charlie to me." I think it took a couple more meetings before I finally became Mike rather than Charlie. This was the way it was with Bill. He had nicknames for everybody: Tomcat, Cindy Poo, Jill Pill, Tater, Billy Bungler, Red, Uncle Buck, just to name a few. While it is inevitable that our earthly bodies will succumb to disease, accident, trauma, or wear and tear, our spirits were designed to be eternal. In Genesis 1:26, the Lord says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." God is telling us we were created to love, for this is God's nature, and that love is contained within that eternal spirit. Bill was a very spiritual man, as I had the opportunity to speak with him on many occasions about his faith. He always kept a Bible nearby his chair. In his earlier adult life, as Pastor noted, he made sure his kids were at the church anytime the doors were open. Later, he served as a deacon at Gashla Baptist Church before moving his church home here to Berry Christian. As was indicated, and we all know, Bill's culinary pursuits are legendary. Here at the church, Bill was a huge sponsor of the turkey dinner. He purchased lots of tickets and then told family, friends, and strangers to just show up, give them his name, and the meal would be taken care of. He made sure to attend the dinner both Thursday and Friday nights. He was a regular at Gasconi's and the River Market, Gasconi's on North Oak, Corner Cafe, Leo's Funhouse, Tim's Pizza, the Hoof and Horn, which he and I trekked up to St. Joe too many times, Lost Tule's, and at least a dozen other places. Whether you walked in with him to those places, when you walked in with him to those places, I should say, you saw how Cowboy, or Billy Bob, was revered. Of course, they loved him for his wit, but they also loved him for his penchant for a large appetite. Bill loved tractor shows, country western music, picking and singing on the guitar, even to the point of keeping the bathroom occupied when the kids were quite young. And while I mentioned his love for food, this will put it in perspective. You see, Bill was willing to trade dirt work for food. If a restaurant parking lot needed to be cleaned up before being repaved, Bill would offer to clean it up if they would open up a credit line for him on an agreed-upon time frame. He also liked being around big eaters. Told his daughter Jill he liked eating with her because she could eat as much as he could. Problem there is though, Bill and Jill had quite different metabolisms. Jill's is like an eagle and Billy Bob's was like a turtle. Bill was a hoarder. He kept empty Old Spice bottles, McDonald's coffee cups, empty green or fancy beer bottles, writing pens, magazines, 12 of the same tool, and many others. But Bill was the only organized hoarder I've ever seen. Everything he would touch was well organized. The magazines were in piles, but each pile contained only similar magazines. The bottles were in neat little rows. He wrote down the date a piece of mail was received and the date it was due on the outside of the envelope. Along with other notable information, before placing it in a neat pile with other statements. In fact, Bill had notes for his notes. Notes on the weather, what he consumed that day, and how he rated the food. Other daily life notes, notes on interesting quotes or sayings, notes with reminders, notes about gifts he'd received, including who it was from, the date, and what the occasion was. Lots and lots of notes. If you were to walk into Bill's closet, you'd find every pair of jeans was hanging with an almost exact distance between every hanger. It was the same for his Western shirts and vests. His boots are all in a row. And so are all those cowboy hats. Bill was organized, even if some of his penchants for collectibles were odd. My wife Cindy shared a story with me about Bill. Well, you see, Cindy was 18 when she and her then boyfriend decided to go to a honky-tonk called Nadine's for a beer. Both of them were underage for the consumption of alcoholic beverages. So there they both sit, talking and drinking their beer. And there's a little stage in the front. And without any warning, out walks a bearded man with a cowboy hat and guitar. Yep, it's Bill. Cindy says she immediately put up her hands in front of her face. Due to her embarrassment and the need to exit the facility quickly, it seems as though Bill was everywhere. Jamie can tell you a story about disrespecting the old man when he was a teenager. Thinking that he could outrun Bill, he bolted for the door, and Bill, without a shirt and only cowboy boots on, proceeded to nab him. Although this is the only story I ever heard about Bill moving quickly. For Bill was known for being pokey and unhurried in every aspect of his life. Billy reminded me that Pops was never in a hurry to get anywhere. Billy recounted, and I could visualize it, that Bill had a routine in getting ready to walk out the door. Then he would walk into his neatly arranged closet, taking considerable time to pick out an outfit that he felt was just right for the occasion, even though that was just going to a restaurant. And as you know, most of us men, we just kind of grab and go. Not Bill. Once he made it to his vehicle, he had to warm it up before pulling away. He always drove 5 to 10 miles an hour under the speed limit. He was never in a hurry, and he was happy to tell the rest of us that we drove too fast. When he got to his destination, he would seek out the perfect parking spot. Billy said he preferred it to be level, shady if summertime, sunny if winter. He would then let the engine idle and cool before exiting the vehicle. Only then was he ready to begin his methodical walk to the door of the establishment. I mentioned earlier that Bill was a provider. After serving in the Army, Bill was, as you heard, an over-the-road truck driver, worked for Damon Purcell. After a while, yeah, Bill decided he'd soaked up enough knowledge, went out and started his own company, William R. Ballard Excavating. Bill provided many jobs to others, including family members, and as you heard, his legacy continues on through his son, Billy. But besides just jobs Bill provided, as you heard also, homes, schools, churches, apartments, shopping centers, you name it, in the Orton land, and chances are Ballard Excavating might have been involved in its construction. You've heard it said that a building is only as good as its foundation. Well, I would say that a foundation is only as good as the dirt work that precedes the pouring of that foundation. And it was Bill Ballard that oversaw that a lot of homes and business foundations got off to a good start. Yes, Bill looked forward every October, as you heard, about going to the War Eagle Crafts Fair in Arkansas. But the real reason he liked it was because he got to have special time with his daughters and granddaughters. None of us guys really wanted to go. We saw it as punishment. So he got to hold court with just his ladies. They have many a good story from those adventures, but some require a rating of PG-13. So you'll have to ask them about those. You also need to privately inquire, as you heard also, about the stories of the Ballard brothers. And yeah, there were four of them, commonly known as the Gashlin Gandies. And they are renowned in the Northland for their mischievous ways. Here we are today to say an earthly goodbye to an original, a genuine legend, at least here in the Northland. So what would Bill want to leave you with? Well, like I said, I had several spiritual discussions with Bill, and I think a couple points. In Psalm 23, you've all heard it many, many times. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Let me tell you that Bill knows that death is nothing to fear. For you see, if there is a shadow in the valley of death, then that means there is light piercing into that valley. That's the light of Christ. And he, Bill, knew that he's coming for all believers. Bill believed, and he faced his time here on this earth always without fear. And know this, Bill was escorted by angels through that valley of the light, of death to the light. In Luke 16:20, there's the story of the beggar Lazarus and how he was escorted by the angels upon his death, whereas the unbelieving rich man was simply buried. I know Bill wants you to be with him. So we all need to repent and believe. And we'll see him again someday. As I said, Bill faced and fought evil every day. He would want you to know that. Evil spelled backwards is L-I-V-E. So he would say to you, don't be afraid. And live. Oh, and one last thing. Cowboys don't say goodbye. They say, see you later.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much. Scripture reading I share with you, Luke chapter 15, verses 20 through 24, a text that Billy and other members of the family wanted us to lift up. The text says, "So he got up and started back to his father. He was still a long way from home when his father saw him. His heart was filled with pity, and he ran and threw his arms around his son and kissed him. 'Father,' the man said, 'I have sinned against God and against you. I am no longer fit to be called your son.' But the father called to his servants. 'Hurry,' he said, 'bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And then go and get the prize calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he has been found.' And so the feasting began." May we pray. Lord God, we're grateful for your word, for the strength that it provides for us, for the insight in how we are to live our lives in ways that brings glory to your kingdom. And even as your word is a testimony to the one we come to honor, Bill Ballard. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Like the prodigal son who fell into vices that caused him to squander half of his father's lifetime of earnings, many of us have been tempted by or may have even succumbed to the tug of our earthly demons. And like the prodigal son, while wallowing in the muck and mire of our troubles, we may even discover with disgust the plight of our condition. And like the younger prodigal son, we realize that even in shame and with apprehension, that we've got to find our way back to a better place where circumstances are good, honest, and proper. We've got to find that way of life, that environment where Christ is indeed our shepherd and our Savior, one who offers us peace. For as Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does." Early in his life, Bill Ballard felt the ongoing tug of two sides, an angel on one shoulder and a demon on the other, the contrast of the sweet and the sour. On occasion, the demon side would spill out in a disagreeable attitude or a quick temper, but Bill also knew that the angel sitting on the other side had a deep-seated impact and could come out with a gentle spirit, genuine care and consideration for others, and through his honest and forthright integrity in business. The deep-seated influence of the church was certainly inherent in the history of his grandfather's Baptist circuit riding ministry, and even as many folks may find it rather easy to reject the influences of one's religious heritage, Bill Ballard always seemed to find comfort in the Lord's presence. In a way, Bill made a bit of a church circuit all his own, albeit in the course of just a few short miles here in the Northland. Bill found a place close to God in his early life with those hymn singing, potluck serving church folks off of North Oak Traffic Way. And then he found that stability at Gashland Baptist and in later years here at Berry. But through his own personal example, what Bill has revealed to us all is that no matter how far we may stray from God, there is always, always a way back home to the comfort and assurance of God's ways and the promise of God's heavenly realm. For as the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God has shown us how much he loved us. It is while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. And there were people along the way to help Bill find his way. The folks at that small Baptist church, Earl Lowry and the other man at Gashland Baptist, and welcoming folks here at Berry, and many of you. And in return, Bill has been compelled to do what he can for others, to help out his friends and relatives and do an honest day's work for every customer he served. And most of all, through the years, Bill discovered a peace of mind that was grounded in his faith and in meaningful relationships with others. Bill never felt that he needed to go off to distant places to be on vacation, because when Bill woke up every day, it was like a vacation. For Bill found contentment in doing exactly what he wanted to do and with the people he wanted to be with all his life, and helping wherever he could.